Well, we've been in a series called This Is Home, where we're walking through. You're like, when are we done with this series? Well, next week we're done with this series, okay? But we have 10 culture statements that we call them, 10 statements of who we are. And we call it This Is Home because we believe that in this new season of Discovery Church, we're coming to find a home again. But in order for it to really be a home, there's values that exist in homes. And we want to explain and talk about the values that our church values, not that they would just be church values, but we believe that if a home has values, then they actually become personal values as well. And we wanted to take a few weeks as people are exploring coming back home, people are looking to see what Discovery Church is all about, that we would actually take some time to walk through what makes Discovery Church tick, what every decision is filtered through, who we are as individuals, who we are as an organization. And the very first week, we talked about Jesus is our focus. Without Jesus being our focus, everything becomes religion because we try to do things out of duty, not out of delight. But when Jesus is our focus, all of a sudden things get out of the religious realm into a relationship realm. And the things that usually take our time and our focus seems to be blurry. Not saying that the troubles and storms of life don't happen, but when Jesus is our focus, we can look beyond today into a future where we know he has everything under control. Then we looked at a community being our strength. Who are you doing community with? Who's got your six? Who's got your back, right? It says that back to back we can conquer, but by ourselves we can easily be defeated. Life is not meant to be alone. We say that we have to be a Christian. You have to be a Christian for yourself, but you cannot be a Christian by yourself. Who are you doing community with? Who would you call at 3:30 in the morning when life is just not what you thought it would be, or you got into an accident, or you got a call from a friend, and some of you got diagnosed with a terminal illness, or passed away, or got into an accident? Who would you call at 3:30 in the morning? If you've got nobody, guess what? This room you can find somebody in this room to do life with. You need it. You need it. Community is our strength. Then we walked into generosity is our privilege. That giving over and above of our time, our resources, our testimony, our talents, our treasures, and the list goes on, that God called us to be generous. John 3:16 says that God so loved the world that he gave. Therefore, if we love people, which we're actually going to talk about people are our passion next week, and that love is our answer is the two values that we're going to close off the series with next week. If we love people, then we are going to be generous givers. On that note, just to, you know, to get us prepped, November is Heart for the House Month, the one month of a year that we say, hey, we're going to believe and trust God to give over and above from our finances towards a project. You'll hear more about what we are going to invest in and give towards specifically over the next couple weeks. But the last week in November, we're actually going to take up a specific offering that's kind of like, hey, I'm believing in this house. We've got a heart for the house. We're going to test God. Malachi 3:10 says, test me in this and see not that the floodgates of heaven will be open. The only place in all of Scripture that God tells us to test them is actually with our tithing and our giving. So Heart for the House month is November around here, where we say one time a year where we're going to give over and above our regular tithes and offerings. And for some of you, maybe you're like, I've never started giving before. I've never taken that faith journey. This is the awesome month to start doing it. We actually don't need to spend too much time on this, but we know that giving financially is probably really hard because everybody's like budgeted, maybe overextending themselves. But we honestly do believe in what Scripture says when God says tells us to test him in this, that we as a church actually do what we call a three-month tithe challenge. That if you signed up and agreed to tithe for 3 months, that if God is not true to his word, we'll actually refund you everything that you've given in that 3 months back. You can find more information on our website about that. It's just a way to honestly that we get to stand with you. It's not kind of like, hey, you should be tithing, you should be giving, God will bless your life. God, you know, God's true to his word. Well, we want to stand with you. And if you've never taken begin tithing, I encourage you to take the three-month tithe challenge. We've had people literally get raises, get back pay. I have a friend of mine who does this in BC. They literally, somebody in their church said, I'm going to try it just to prove you wrong. And literally in 3 months, their business went triple in income in 3 months. And it's crazy because it's good. And some people are like, that's prosperity gospel. No, we're not about prosperity gospel. We're not about giving and getting. But the gospel that I believe in is a gospel of prosperity. It's a gospel that we get what we don't deserve. So anyway, I don't need to spend much more time on that. I could get on to the generosity one and for a long time. Excellence is our standard. What's the next one? Not perfection, but excellence. God calls us to be excellent, to excel in whatever he has called us to do. Joy is our choice. Joy is found in letting go of what we cannot control and trusting the one who controls everything. Joy is not the feeling of happiness. And one of the tricks that Satan tries to play with us is that, well, if you're not happy, you can't be joyful. That is not true. Joy is an understanding that there is something bigger, that there is a God that is in control, and that we need to let go of the things that we cannot control and take a hold of the joy that is our strength, as it says in his word. Then we talked about encouragement as our language last week. Did you feel anybody's buckets this week? Anybody writing a little encouragement note? I know Hudson got one. I got one. Man, it's just so good to be able to like infuse some encouragement into people's lives. Encouragement is our language. It says, do not forsake meeting together, but encourage one another as the end is drawing near. Today, the two values that we want to tackle and lean into, and we plan to conclude next week, but today we're going to look at the values that say this. Two values. So freedom is our inheritance, and servanthood is our posture. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, today, as we get to hear from your word, would you filter out what is man's words in my words, and would you allow your words to come to the surface? And what I say, if it's not of you, just to be thrown into the garbage. But what you say today, Holy Spirit, would it take root in our lives and our hearts? In the name of Jesus, amen. When you hear the word freedom, what comes to mind? Maybe for some of you, it's like the 1980s or 1990s movie, Mel Gibson laying on the gauntlet table. Freedom! And his head's cut out. Friend, PG. Don't watch the movie. Maybe for many of you that walk through freedom groups, you're like, when I hear the word freedom, I think of my time in small groups on a screen where Jesus did something powerful in my life. For others, it might be the moment that you remember the moment that you hear it's in remission. Maybe you think of freedom on your last day of classes, or when you got your driver's license, or when your kids went off to university. And now they're back, and you're like, freedom was good. No. I love the chuckle. Thank you. It's awesome. You will actually hear a lot of talk around Discovery Church about freedom. And for a big period of my life, I thought like freedom was like kind of this cliche Christian word that would get thrown around and used in churches. And until I actually started to understand freedom a little bit more, I realized that there were more and more Christians who actually weren't living in freedom at all. I started asking the question, well, why? You know, God calls us to freedom. Jesus came to set the captive free. It was for freedom that Christ has set us free. I started wondering, it's like, why are so many people still not living in freedom? And I think it comes back to the simple idea that we feel and think that freedom comes from us, from something that we've done, something that we can do. Here, we surround ourselves around this idea of seek truth, find purpose, and become fully engaged followers of Jesus. And we say our life looks like a four-step spiritual journey. That our first step is to know God. We have to make a decision to know God. Deep down, to confess our sins, believe that Jesus came, died, rose again. Step one is to know God. Step two, we say, is to find freedom. And often we want to join, know God, and find freedom together. And although we've given our lives to Christ and we've confessed our sins, as the Bible says, that's our mess, the things that we don't do well, confess our sins. Sometimes we think our confession of our sins and freedom go hand in hand. Now we're free from the consequences of sin, but we still have the mess in our lives that we need to get free from. And then step three, we say discover purpose. And step four, make a difference. And the way that we make a difference is to make a difference for eternity by bringing people through, know God, find freedom, discover purpose, make a difference. We kind of like our lives as a cycle. It's like your purpose is not your paycheck. Your purpose is to bring people into knowing God, finding freedom, discovering purpose, and making a difference. And then when they get on making a difference, they start bringing their friends in this cycle of know God, find freedom, discover purpose, make a difference. But the truth of the matter is so many of us actually can never, we know God, we try to find freedom, we move on to make a difference or discover purpose and to make a difference, but we can never really truly discover purpose and make a difference because we're still actually stuck back on finding freedom. And we try to say, well, God, I don't feel like I'm making much of a difference. I don't know what my purpose is in life because we're actually tunneled vision on trying to either hide what we're trying to get free from, and we never actually truly get free. So when God says, hey, here's what I want you to do. Here's who you are. Here's your purpose, and here's how you make a difference. You're like, I can't make a difference because of this, because I'm not truly free. And I think some of it comes to, it's like, well, I've got to do something to be free. Jesus has done everything for us to be free. Our freedom is not dependent upon us. And I think that's a trick of the devil to say, oh, well, you can't truly be free, Lauren, because you haven't done enough. You haven't prayed enough. Oh, and by the way, remember that you did just yesterday? Well, you can't be free from that. You're back to it again. Well, the thing is, the gospel, the freedom of the gospel is actually that Jesus did it all. We did nothing. So when I say that freedom is our inheritance, guess what? It is something that we get that we don't deserve. See, typically an inheritance is received from someone when someone dies. Often an inheritance is receiving something of value that we did nothing to receive. Receiving something just because we're a son or a daughter or a part of a specific lineage, we get gifted something. An inheritance often is something that you receive that you've never worked for, and often, sometimes, what you don't even deserve. Welcome to salvation. We receive something that we didn't do, something we don't deserve, we didn't work for. But it's through Jesus' work on the cross that we inherit our freedom. And that allows us to have a relationship with God, an assurance of an eternity in heaven. I wonder how many of us, me included, I wonder how many of us don't live in freedom because we're still trying and believing and living as though freedom depends on us. Of course, that's me. Welcome to the religion trap. I must do more. I must be more. I've got to make sure I'm, you know, a great neighbor. I got to make sure I give to the poor. I got to make sure I don't look at that or don't drink that or don't do this, but I must do this. And all of a sudden, we're in this battle of this religion versus relationship and saying, well, I don't deserve freedom. No, it's true. We don't deserve freedom. But God being a good father says, that's okay. Freedom's your inheritance. Our freedom has nothing to do with us. And our freedom has everything to do with Jesus. Everything to do with Jesus. Our freedom is not dependent upon how good we are on behavior modification. Because anybody else ever get caught in just trying to say, "Well, I'm free. I'm just not going to do this, or I'm just not going to say that." And we get this behavior modification, and we try to white knuckle my behavior and say, "Well, if I'm just good on the outside, then I'm free on the inside." But the truth of the matter is, I could shape my behavior different this one time, but the root of not being free is going to pop up in something else. So I don't look at a lustful picture, but over here I'm overeating. And we're just trying to cover up something that's deeper, that I'm not actually truly free, because I'm just trying to earn my freedom. But freedom can't be earned. Freedom is our inheritance that is freely given by God when Jesus came and gave his life for our freedom. Our freedom has nothing to do with how much money we give to the poor, or even if we're an A-plus student. Man, I'm thankful for that one. So I was never an A-plus student. Galatians 3:26 says, "For all," this should get somebody excited and celebrate a little bit, maybe even like jump out of your shoes. Galatians 3:26, "For you are all children of God through faith in Jesus." Not through our good deeds, not through our wealth, not through your talents, through faith in Jesus. And then Jesus said in Luke 4:18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, and that the blind will see, and that the oppressed will be set free." Jesus came to set captives free. Guess what? Without Jesus, we are all captives. Captive to what? Captive to sin, until we welcome Jesus into our lives. What are we blind to? We're blind to the fact that we can't do this alone, that we are broken people until the Holy Spirit comes in and removes the blinders from our eyes and helps us realize that we're in need of a Savior. The oppressed will be set free. Oppression occurs when one person exercises authority or power in an unfair, abusive, cruel, or needlessly controlling way. Welcome to what Satan does in our lives. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me and anointed me to set the oppressed free. Set free the people who are treated unfairly, are being abused cruelly, cruel or needlessly, controlling way. Set us free. Sin held us back, imprisoned us, and Satan will do whatever he can to oppress us, to keep us from making a difference, discovering purpose, knowing God, finding freedom. Yeah, we're free from the consequences of sin, but Satan is still trying to oppress many of us, trying to exercise what he thinks is authority in an unfair and abusive way. Freedom is our inheritance. And so many of us have a will sitting on the table ready to open that makes us the most richest, most freest person and people in our world. And we're just looking at the envelope and saying, no, I've got to earn something to be able to open that first. I know freedom exists for maybe other people, but maybe not for me. Galatians 4:5-7 says, "God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law." What was the law? Back in the Old Testament, the law was a list of rules that humans had to keep or had to do in order to earn a rightful place with God. No one could obey all the rules. They have rules around rules to try to not touch the rules. Then Jesus came so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir. That's the word. My newfie is coming out. He has an inheritance that is yours, that is ours, that is mine, and his freedom. And we've done nothing to deserve it. We can't do anything to earn it. Freedom. But as humans, it's so hard to understand that, right? We want a target. We want to say, well, if there's a target out there and this is what it means to be something, that then I can set a goal and be there. And it's so hard for humans to set out this idea that I don't need to do anything. I'm okay the way I am. Like, God accepts me, come as I am. Yes, come as you are, because there's an envelope, there's a will sitting on the table, like I said, that you can open today and step into freedom. Because freedom's not about how we feel, what we do, or what we've done. Freedom is our inheritance. Romans 8:17 says, and since we are his children, we will share his treasures. For all God gives his son Jesus is now ours too. Freedom is our inheritance. It's yours. Nobody can take it away. We are sons and we are daughters of God. And this is something that as I was preparing this, I was like, Satan, you always try to trick me. Welcome to Satan. He's a father of lies. His language is lies, okay? So he's going to try to trick us, yes. And sometimes, one of Satan's tricks is to kind of try to find a lie that has, like, that sounds good. Like, some lies are like, well, that's just a lie. But sometimes it's kind of like, well, do you know what you did over here, Lauren? Do you think God's okay with that? And you're like, oh, yeah, I'm not sure if he is. Oh, well, Lauren, you're probably not worth as much as you think you are. And sometimes we catch this, like, well, you're agreeing with the lies that Satan is bringing in. And often, you know, Satan might say, well, you're not good enough, Lauren. And this past week, I was like, Satan, I agree, I'm not good enough, but I'm glad it doesn't depend on me, because freedom is my inheritance. I know I'm not worthy. I know I'm not good enough. There's nothing I can do to measure up to the love that God has shown me, but it doesn't depend on me. Welcome to salvation. Welcome to the greatest gift we could ever receive. It doesn't depend on us. And when I try to make it depending on me, I'm just made more and more understanding that I'm like, I just can't do this. I'm in need of a Savior. And when we begin to actually live in freedom, understanding that I can't do it. I can't be good enough. I'm in need of a Savior. I'm in need of somebody saving. And when we actually begin living in freedom as sons and daughters of God, no matter what, we realize that we can help lead other people into a freedom journey. We realize that we can help lead people into a knowing God, finding freedom, discovering purpose, and making a difference. And the best way that we can actually lead people into the journey of finding freedom is through being a servant and serving others, which leads us to the second value today. Servanthood is our posture. I remember sitting in the office of a professor when I was studying for my theology degree, and we were talking about leadership. So much talk about leadership over the last 20 years, maybe over the last five, is like, I want to be a great leader. And I like all the books, you know, the Good to Great and the Seven Habits of Highly Effective People and everything that Craig Rochelle puts out. I'm just like, I eat it up. I want to be a good leader. But I remember sitting in a professor's office talking about leadership, And all of a sudden, the room just went quiet for a moment. And everybody paused. And the professor looked at us and said, "Is the greatest leader that ever lived, speaking of Jesus, led by serving?" The greatest leader. See, we can look around at all the great leaders throughout history. And we're like, I want to be like him, or I want to be like her. But again, if our focus is not on Jesus, then we miss it. And Jesus becomes our example. Then we lead by serving. If you're here today and you're like, I don't know if I'm called to be a leader at all. Well, if you've given your life to Christ, if you've made a decision to say, Jesus, I'm welcoming your freedom, I'm taking my inheritance, and I've given my life to Christ, then you're a leader. You are called, you are on a mission to lead people. You are an influencer. In your sphere of influence, in your friend circle, you are a leader. Now, it's up to you which way you lead them. Lead them to Christ or away from Christ. The best and most effective leadership is servanthood. Having a posture to serve. Having a posture that says there's nothing below me. There's no one that's unworthy. Now, at times I get that. Like, I'll even take it to a church level. There are times that our values and who we are will limit us from maybe taking up a project or serving a certain group of people because we know who God's called us to be. But that's not taken from the place that I'm like, it's below us, or no, we don't care for them. No, we still love people. But servanthood is coming with a posture of that there's nothing that I won't do. There's nothing that God leads me to that can't be used to show love. Servanthood is our posture. Posture is simply this, a particular way of dealing with or considering something, an approach or attitude. Often in leadership, our approach and our attitude is for recognition or for personal advancement. But Jesus called us to lead by serving. Jesus called us to be leaders. And he said, the way you do that is to wash people's feet. The way you lead people is to lay down your life. The way you lead people is to make sure you have time and space to care for people. When I say that servanthood is our posture, it's our attitude, about others before me. It's the we before me principle. This is what one article said, talking about servanthood. To be a servant means we genuinely need to care about people. It's keeping our eyes, hearts, and schedules open for divine appointments. Jesus was not stressed about time, what others thought of him, or a list of tasks to accomplish each day. Jesus was led by the Spirit of God and followed his promptings to serve, love, and help others. No task was ever beneath Jesus, and no person was ever unworthy. Philippians 2:3-5 says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ." Feel that freedom and servanthood go hand in hand. that if we're truly free, that servanthood will be an overflow out of our inheritance. That we don't look for self-advancement. Not that it's wrong to be like, hey, set goals in your life, but self-advancement, that you're willing to use other people to advance. I don't think God calls us to do that. So often in leadership, it's about levels of authority or power. But if we're living in true understanding of freedom, we begin to understand that our worth don't come from a position. Our worth doesn't come from a title. Our worth doesn't come from the car we drive or the relationship we're in. Or if we're serving and washing somebody's feet, or if we have the privilege to stand on a stage and preach the gospel, or if we have the privilege to be in a government position, or if we're teaching kindergartens or grade 12s or university students, our value is determined by who we are as sons and daughters of God, not from others. And because we're free, we take up the posture of a servant. Galatians 5:13 says, "For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. Do not use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love." Servanthood is our posture. Why? Because Jesus is our focus. Freedom is our inheritance. You can keep that on. That was the Holy Spirit pad, right? So, you know. Freedom is our inheritance. Servanthood is our posture. See, often what holds us back from giving our lives completely to Jesus is the fact that we're like, oh, I got to clean up. I got to make things right. I got to do more. I got to be better. But if that was true, why did Jesus come to give his life for imperfect people? Freedom is yours today. Freedom is ours today. Freedom is your inheritance. Galatians also says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery." Another one of the tricks of the enemy. A yoke was a structure that went across two bulls for plowing and was heavy on the bull for plowing and farming. And Jesus says, or it says this, and it says, "Freedom that Christ has set, or it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery." See, before we give our lives to Christ, there's a yoke of slavery. There's a yoke that was heavy and burdened and held us down. But Jesus says, "My burden is light." Give your burden to Jesus. But then he goes, "But don't pick it up. Don't be tricked to pick it back up, because the moment, you know, that's again living in religion. Religion is saying, well, I got to go back over here and I've got to get to know God and I got to find freedom. I got to discover purpose. I got to make a difference again." And we keep running back. Proverbs talks about as a dog runs back to his vomit. Often we just keep running back and we are all like, "Oh, well, God, I'm just not any good anymore." And then we try to earn our way back, you know, not watch things, not do things, not say things, or give more to the poor until we feel like, "Oh, okay, I think I can come into church again and worship because I think I feel good enough about what I didn't do yesterday or what I did yesterday." And we come in and we feel better. But the thing is that if we truly understand our freedom, we're not just sons and daughters when we're good. We're sons and daughters when we're bad. And that our goodness and badness doesn't depend, and our salvation doesn't depend on us. Again, it depends completely on what Jesus did. So stand firm. Do not take up the yoke of slavery. Freedom is in our inheritance. And if we can leave today believing beyond our feelings that our freedom is ours to take hold of, I think our lives change out there. And if we truly walk and understand that we're sons and daughters, out of that overflow, we will serve other people. And in our serving, I think people will say, I want to know your God. When they take that first step, kind of like, there's some things I need to get free from. Oh, I always thought church was religion. No, it's a relationship. Oh, I want to start finding freedom. Oh, God created me for a purpose? Yeah. I can make a difference? Yeah. By bringing your neighbor into helping them know God, find freedom, discover purpose, making a difference. How can we serve, have a servanthood posture? I think it's simply this, that if God leads us to it, we can serve people in it. That if it's worth doing, then we can do it with a servanthood posture. There is nothing beneath us. That everything is an opportunity to show love. So freedom is our inheritance. Servanthood is our posture. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, today, God, we could spend a whole year just talking about freedom. But God, could you help us today recognize that freedom doesn't come from anything that we do. It comes from everything that you did. God, and in our freedom, will we be led to serve others? Would we be led to show your love? That we wouldn't be looking just to one-up somebody or to think we're better than people, but God, we would be willing to serve. We would be willing to lead like Jesus. So God, for the individuals that are here that maybe have never stepped into a relationship with you, never taken a hold of that inheritance, never opened that envelope of salvation, God, I pray that today would be the day that they make a decision saying, hey, I'm messed up. Can't do this alone. I'm in need of a Savior, that they would open that envelope of salvation and say, that's me. Actually, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're in this space today and you've never made a decision to say, I want to give my life to Christ. You're in that. If you're here today, just count to three and just raise your hand as high as you can. One, two, three. Just give it another moment. Thank you, God, for the individuals that are making a decision in their hearts to step into your freedom. God, I pray that they would know that it's not about what we've done. It's about what you did. In the name of Jesus, amen.